Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is January 25th, 2017. It is 9 a.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for our weekly business session. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance like we always do, so please rise and please remove your hats.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a pretty good-sized crowd here today. We've got a shorter agenda, but some important issues. I'd like to encourage people with cell phone devices if they'd put those on silent so we don't interrupt the presenters or the board presiding right now today. We're going to go through our agenda first. We're going to start with a proclamation. We have a public hearing on the formation of the Josephine Community Library District, which will be item number two. And I believe there are agendas if you want to follow along in the back. Item number three is our administrative calendar, where we'll take into consideration that order to approve that district, the formation. However, there'll be a final decision on the formation of that district if it does go forward from today till February 15th. And then we'll take public comment. Item number four, so people will be given 3 minutes to comment on any subject they like, and then we'll come back and take action on our administrative calendar before moving into our consent calendar item and other things on our agenda. There'll be two opportunities to speak here today. The first is during the public hearing on the formation of the library district, and that will be just on that element alone. And as I mentioned, number four, you can speak on any item you'd like. Both limited to 3 minutes. You'll have to state your name and your general locale, not your specific street address. So we'll start with item number one, which is in the matter of proclaiming the week of January 23rd through the 29th, 2017, as the National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week. And Commissioner Morgan is going to read that one.
So a proclamation. Whereas National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week is sponsored by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA, and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, NIAAA, at the National Institutes of Health in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, in accordance with other federal and private partner organizations, to encourage teens to ask questions about drugs, drug abuse, alcohol, and alcoholism, and receive scientifically based facts and answers in return. And whereas from that day forward, National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week will occur in the winter with an annual 7-day celebration anchored by NIDA's and NIAAA's National Drug and Alcohol Chat Day, an annual event that provides high school students across the United States with the opportunity to ask questions of the nation's leading experts in the field of drug abuse, alcohol, and addiction via a web chat, and whereas National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week is a celebration of the inquisitive minds of teenagers and encourages them to ask questions about drugs, drug abuse, alcohol, and alcoholism, and get scientifically based answers without judgment or biased comment. And whereas National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week celebrates the efforts of national and community organizations working with teens to encourage a science-based conversation about drugs, drug abuse, alcohol, and alcoholism, and whereas Focus Teen Council has chosen Josephine County to officially launch our efforts, our local efforts. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Josephine County Board of Commissioners does hereby proclaim the week of January 23rd through 29th, 2017, as National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week in Josephine County. It's dated today and signed by all the commissioners.
I believe we had Sean Martinez, your office, and others to come receive the proclamation.
Hi, my name is Mark Hylev, and I'm with Focus Teen Council. Focus Teen Council is a group of middle schoolers and high schoolers that come together to spread drug awareness. Some things we have done is reward and reminders as we go to stores and see if they sell you lottery tickets. And if they don't, then we give them a reward. And if they do, then we tell them that they cannot do that. We've also done canned food drives. We went to Washington, D.C. and met with our legislators to talk about drug awareness.
Would you mind repeating your name? I'm sorry.
Markiah Love.
Okay, great, thanks.
Hello, my name is Akasha Papke, and prescription drugs are something that most people don't talk about because it's something that we're not focusing on. Marijuana is because it's become legal suddenly. But in 2008, prescription drugs like Vicodin and Oxycodone were involved in overdose, more overdose deaths than heroin and cocaine combined. And that happens during farm parties, which is where you come from your family, you bring a whole bunch of pills that you can find, and you just dump them in a bowl, and then people just take them like Skittles. You don't know what you're taking, and you could die from it, possibly.
Okay. Hi, my name is Kate T. Phillips, and underage drinking is a serious public health problem in the United States. Alcohol is the most widely used substance of abuse among America's youth. According to the 2015 National Survey on Drug Use and Health, about 2.4 million young people ages 12 to 17 reported drinking alcohol in the last month. Drinking and driving can add up to tragic endings. In the U.S., about 5,000 people under the age of 21 die every year due to underage drinking. Nearly 40%, 1,900, die in car accidents. Thank you.
Well done.
Yes, very much so. Sean, did you have anything else you wanted to? Sean Martinez is our substance abuse coordinator.
Good morning. Yep.
I think that's your title.
Well, it changes daily.
Right.
Depends what I want it to be today. So thank you for reading the proclamation and allowing our Focus Teen Council to come and give some facts this morning. I can't say enough about these youth and the things that they do in our community to raise awareness, and we really appreciate your support.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to move on to item number two, which is the public hearing on the formation of the Josephine Community Library District. So I'm going to call the hearing to order and open it at officially 9:06. And I believe we have Ms. Lasky from the library to present. Following her presentation, then we'll open it up for public comment. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming and giving this presentation.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to present. And my name's Kate Lasky. I'm the executive director for Josephine Community Libraries. I have a presentation that covers some of the facts around the formation of this library district. And I encourage anybody attending today or watching, I think, to contact me with any questions that they might have through my library email, which is available at josephinelibrary.org, or by telephone. My extension is 110. Great. So the background about the history of funding for libraries in Josephine County, we're starting in 1997 when a library levy passed for 33 cents. And then under Measure 50 that year, all counties in the state of Oregon were allowed to take a levy and make it a permanent rate for their general fund. What happened in Josephine County was that became a permanent rate, and over time, it was moved into the general fund to support other departments and due to the dwindling ONC funds. Now the county has 58 cents, 33 cents of that was that levy. The levy was only for 3 years, so we wouldn't have it today anyway. But it is important to note the history of an issue of trust, which is why a proposed separate entity of a library district is being requested. The public safety crisis continued, and then in 2004, a library levy was posted, but it failed, I think for lack of trust, but that's the result of that levy. At that time, library hours and budget for materials began to be reduced, and then in 2006, a district was proposed, and it also failed. Then in 2007, when a public safety measure failed, the library system was closed in May. So the history demonstrates that citizens did not pass a countywide initiative to fund their libraries. Citizens did, however, reorganize and reopen all four branches by the end of 2009 with tax support, without tax support, and as a private nonprofit with donations. Since that time, we've raised $1.1 million in grants to fund the libraries and $2.4 million in donations. And it's important to note that at that time, commissioners provided seed money of $300,000 to match the community, which then raised to $600,000 to reopen the library system in 2009. So now we have lease agreements on the buildings. Then the Josephine Community Libraries put forth a petition to form a district in 2014, and it failed. It did move the needle a little bit for the voter. It did come back with a better positive turnout, but it didn't pass for the entire county. So now we're here today to talk about a proposed smaller library district, not including the entire county because of the history of support. So these, well, I'm going to move on with a little bit of usage facts, if I can. Oh, yeah. So how are the libraries being used today? Very well. Typically, we check out about 25,000 items a month and sign up an average of about 250 new library cardholders each month as well. We continue to add new books to the collection. Since Josephine Community Libraries has been operating the system, we've added 86,000 new items to the collection. The total collection is 164,000. So we've added about 53% of the collection. It's kind of a sort of a living, breathing thing. A public library has to be updated. And we have increased usage in our online resources. Online resources include reference databases and testing material. We have a database called Learning Express that folks can use. And that usage has increased considerably. And we have almost 35,000 library cardholders to date. E-book usage goes up by 5,000 every year. So once you add in that additional 5,000, a total of more than 300,000 items are checked out each year. So this just gives everyone a sense of how the libraries are being used, even with the minimal hours that they're open. People really use them for internet access, and it's all types of people. Educating homeschoolers, educating their children, as well as job seekers. Here's how the breakdown of the four branches looks. About 85% of the usage and the volunteer effort happens at the Grants Pass branch. It's most of the activity. And then in the three rural branches, we see significant usage as well for the minimal hours that they are open. Volunteers work about 27,000 hours a year. That is equal to 14 full-time equivalents. So we are thankful for our volunteers, and we would need them to continue with a new smaller library district. Sort of the how we're funded and why we need a library district. Currently, our budget is $790,000 annually. About 55% comes from donations, which I mentioned. Since inception, we've received $2.4 million. Yesterday was our eighth birthday, so that's 8 years. And that does not include the $300,000 that was an original match. 35% from grants, and then a minimal amount from fines and fees. But we're only able to have our main branch open 24 hours a week. Every day, somebody who lives here tries to come into the library when it's closed. Every day, we're not open the hours that we need to be open. We have to open our libraries for more hours, not only to better serve the people who do use the library or who would want to use the library, but also to meet public library standards. And we also have an outdated collection of materials. Even though we've added these items, a large portion of them are donated items, and we need to continuously update. We don't have a budget for that. So how do we measure up in public library standards? We aren't meeting the standards in governance because we do not receive public funding, in staffing because we do not have enough paid staff people, materials because we have outdated items, and facilities because we're not open enough. Where we are meeting standards is in excellent programming, up-to-date technology, and strong advocacy. The libraries are important in small communities like ours because we don't have access to all the same resources that a large city does. So this is really important for all four branches to stay open. So how do we compare to the rest of Southern Oregon? Not well. Historically not well, but certainly not at all well right now in terms of the number of hours that we're open per week. On the far right of that slide, you can see the state median is a little over, it's about 130 hours per week across all branches of the system. And we are open 56 hours a week across all branches of our system right now. And then how much money do we have to buy new materials, which is very important for folks who are visiting the library. Again, the state median is on the far right, which is at about $350 per capita, so per person in the population. For Josephine, we've always been quite low, but we are too low right now at 77 cents per capita. We need to bring that up. So that's kind of the why we need a library district. Here's more why. The financial forecast is unstable in so much as we rely on donations to continue to keep our libraries open for minimal hours. We have a burn rate of our reserve. We're fortunate to have a reserve, but when we dip into it, it starts to disappear, and that's not good planning. We need to have that blue line should be above the red line, and the green line should stay straight. That would be the goal. And what we see in the upcoming 2017 fiscal year is a continual dip into reserves to maintain operations. It's important to note that the citizens who are keeping the libraries open are also volunteering. Looking into the future, what would we like to have? We'd like to change the 24 hours at the main branch and increase the per capita dollars for materials. And we'd like to have a stable future to build on. So we want to open our libraries up for 80 to 100 hours. This is a moderate library that we're presenting, not a very fancy library, and we would like $3 per capita. So we're not trying for the state median, we're trying for meeting public library standards, and those two changes would help us meet public library standards. So we want to create a special district. We want a smaller boundary. So those last three measures were the whole of Josephine County, and what we're proposing now is to shrink it and make it smaller so that it surrounds the branches and we can keep our branches open. What is notable is that where people have service, they tend to be supportive of having a library, which makes sense. We would love to have more branches, but we don't, and we're trying to keep the ones we have open. So we want to shrink it, the areas around the branches, keep all four branches open, and make it smaller. Change it. And so the folks who were out in the county who historically voted no and then shut the whole system shut down, we're being responsive to them as voters. Smaller boundary, and then we would need continued volunteerism because it would not bring in as much money as the 2014 proposed library district. So this is what it looks like. The branches are in Wolf Creek, Grants Pass, Williams, and Cave Junction or Illinois Valley. We would have a voter-elected governing board that would be on the same ballot. it would be at large for those areas. You'd have to live within the boundary to run for that board. It would be separate from the county. The proposed is the same rate proposed in 2014 at 39 cents. And the funds raised could only be used for the library district and never shared with another department. So some questions that have come up for folks, just to be clear, and I know people will have other questions, and I encourage you to reach out to me again and ask those questions, or visit our website at josephinelibrary.org for the frequently asked questions drop down. People inside the boundary, if it passes, it would pass for the whole of the non-contiguous district, and people inside the boundary would pay taxes, and they would get a free library card, not a free library care, but you could interpret that. Okay. Sorry about that typo. People outside the boundary would have the opportunity to buy a library card, but it would not be free to them. They would have the choice, and they would have the access opportunity. Then there would be possible grants and sponsorships for children outside the library district, because I know that leaders in the library community want to see all children supported in literacy. And then during open hours, as it is for the entire nation, any public library, and certainly in Oregon, the library is open to everyone. So it would be open to everyone in Josephine County, and hopefully open more, because we would pass this district, fingers crossed, and everyone would be able to access it as a reading room. So the materials would be available. But borrowing items and checking them out and then some other services would only be available to cardholders as described. So the district formation, and this is my second to the last slide, district formation legal process started with the non-contiguous boundary being drawn by a surveyor, and that was extensive amount of work to create that boundary legal language. Then we wrote a feasibility statement, and that is also available on the website, and I believe now it's available on the Josephine County website. We requested a referral from you, the Board of County Commissioners, because it is difficult to gather signatures in this non-contiguous area. So voters who have been in these areas have historically been supportive. Consent, we received consent from the incorporated areas of the city of Grants Pass and the city of Cave Junction. There are just two incorporated areas within the boundary. The Williams and Wolf Creek do not have incorporated areas. In that time, there's been 6 public meetings held, 6 public notices placed, 2 of which ran in the newspaper, 2 front page news articles outlining this effort, and follow-up news articles in the Daily Courier, and radio coverage, and the frequently asked questions on not only the library's site, but the Political Action Committee's website. So just want to clarify, we're working hard to reach out to folks to let them know what's going on and give them every opportunity to ask questions. We are now in our 6th public meeting on January 25th, and we ask on behalf of the Board of Directors for Josephine Community Libraries that you move this forward and place the measure on the ballot for voters to have their vote. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the board? Yes, Mr. DeYoung.
Yes, thank you for your presentation. Do all members of the family inside the district get a card? I mean, there could be 5 or 6 members, and then another question is, I guess, how do you know if you're in the district or out of the district is when you get your ballot?
Well, you would only receive a ballot.
Right.
That has this vote on it if you're inside the district.
Okay.
Because people outside the district will have the choice of either buying a library card or not using the library.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Anything else? Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Morgan.
What's the significance of it being a public library or that meeting public library standards?
It's keeping up with an industry standard. I think for any business, we look at an industry standard of access. One way that that can play out in Southern Oregon is we would then be able to do what they call interlibrary loan with our neighboring counties. So Jackson County's collection, I think, is over 1 million items. So once we bring our library up to public library standards, we would be able to engage in interlibrary loan, which means that would their collection would also be available to us.
And you're not currently able to do that?
No. No, we would not be a good partner.
Currently, can somebody who does not reside in Josephine County get a Josephine Community Library card?
Currently, they can.
Okay.
That would change.
And in 2014, I don't remember the conversation that came up with the 39 cents. So what, as far as trying to target a number, you already said that this is a moderate-sized library. It's not going for the full opportunity. Like, I think when I was a kid, the library was just always open. I don't remember it not being open. But the significance of 39 cents, why that number?
Because that is enough to pay for new materials. Those are the big chunks. In the feasibility statement, there's a pie graph, and the big chunks of what that 39 cents would buy is materials, which are primarily books, and then the support we need to open the library for more hours, which comes down to people. So we would go from 9 FTEs today to 17.5 FTEs. That's as much as it would support. And that's in the feasibility statement.
I'm going to ask a question I asked you yesterday, but for the sake of repeating it for the public, will these employees be PERS recipients?
No.
Okay. And are you still expecting to receive or have to pursue donations in the same amount that you currently are receiving with this 39 cents to operate?
No. Okay. We would have to anticipate that donations would drop off when people are paying within the district through their tax dollar. However, if we wanted to do a capital project, like a building, which happens in libraries, that would require fundraising and donations.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of comments. Thank you so much, Kate, and your board for presenting this today. This is the third time I think I've heard it, so next time maybe I'll do it. I'm just kidding. I just wanted to clarify, Measure 50 happened statewide. It was approved by the voters, and Josephine County adopted it very similarly to other counties. It was a $1.1 million, so it was a revenue generator cap, not necessarily 33 cents, although our permanent rate, Ms. Lasky is absolutely right, would be 28 cents today if not for that levy. We didn't have a choice as a board or previous boards. I was just graduating in high school in 97. But to put all the levies together into the permanent rate, and that was statewide initiative. I really want to raise the issue as understanding that this board is not necessarily endorsing the formation of a five-person board, picking the rate, the priority of putting it towards staffing and opening hours. That is all the library district board. We have virtually nothing to do with any of those elements. Although they were great questions, the only issue before the board today is whether to refer this to the voters on May 16th, 2017. So there's a couple of things that I failed to read that our legal counsel is probably looking for me to do so. So I don't have any additional questions. Ms. Lasky, I think you guys have done a lot of work, a tremendous amount of work with forming this district, trying to provide a service for the constituents. By saying what I did earlier, that the board is not taking a position in favor or against this issue by referring it to the voters, it doesn't mean that I don't have a personal position on this. I contribute and have, I think, for my entire two terms to the library every month. I go in there pretty regularly, and I walk around, and I see how when you're only open for 25 hours a week, it is packed. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how many people are in there. I feel like who's going to a library these days? Every walk of life is in there, from kids, affluent people, to people who are in need of those resources. It is pretty amazing how it is a gathering place for the entire community, pretty much like none other. And I know that from my experience with my my sister, she has a family. I'm married to my job, and that's my family. But she wouldn't move to a community without a library. And she doesn't have, the family does really, really well in the Bay Area. She's a stay-at-home mom. But there's a social element for her kids that they're not getting other places. And they're going to be worlds ahead by having that experience with the libraries down there that are very well funded. I do also want to recognize the reason that this is coming before the voters right now is not for lack of financial management. It's really a lack of resources that historically came from timber dollars. That library was built with timber dollars. This building was built with timber dollars, and they're not there anymore. And so I think the hesitation of the community to support something like this has been that there's a lack of a fundamental foundational economy, and that's a challenge. And so hopefully with this district formation the way it is, there's people who will endorse this, who have endorsed it in the past, and it can move forward. But that's going to be up for the voters on the 16th. So thank you, Ms. Lasky.
Thank you.
I'm going to read through my one-pager, if the public will indulge me. There's a public hearing is going on right now, and the purpose of that is to follow up on the December 21st, 2016, the board initiated the formation of a special district for library services under organized under ORS 357.216 to 357.286. This is the first hearing before the board on the proposal for information. So the previous board, made up of Commissioner Walker, Commissioner Heck, and myself, had to refer this before the end of last year on December 21st in order for this board to endorse or to move it forward. And so the purpose of this is to form a district for library services. The boundary of the district would include a non-contiguous territory in Josephine County, including all territory in the city of Grants Pass and the city of Cave Junction. Boundary description are in our presentation. It's 234 pages online if you want to take a look at it. There's a lot to read there. The election, the measure for the district formation will appear on the May 16th, 2017 ballot because the proposed district formation includes a permanent rate limit for operating taxes. The electors in the proposed district would be asked to vote yes or no on the single question of whether the district shall be formed, including a permanent tax rate limit to fund the district. The tax rate, the proposed tax rate, would be 39 cents per thousand assessed value to begin in the fiscal year 2017-2018. The governing body for the district, for the proposed district, will have a 5-member district board elected at large by position number by the electors of the proposed district under ORS 357.241 at the election of the district formation under ORS 357.231. Two of the members would be elected for 4-year terms, and the other 3 members would be elected for 2-year terms. I thought that had been corrected, that all of them were serving for 4.
They offset. They're all 4-year terms, but the first set will be 4, then the second set's 2 years later to put them on a 4-year rotation.
Okay. Any elector residing within the district territory is qualified to serve as a district board member under ORS 357.226 and ORS 357.231. The board order designates the county clerk as the recipient of the nominating petitions or declarations of candidacy filed as described in ORS 249.031. This hearing notice, required by law, was published in the Courier, posted in 4 public places. And as previously stated, the purpose of this hearing, required by statute to hold 2 public hearings on the proposal for formation. The purpose of the first hearing is, item number 1, state the board's proposal for formation of the Josephine Community Library District, effective upon approval of the voters at the May 16th, 2017 election. Item number 2, we're supposed to allow public comment or oral and written form for all interested persons. And then item number 3 is determine whether the area proposed for the district could be benefited by the formation of the district. And number 4, establish the boundary of the district. And there's determination of the criteria set out under ORS 199.462. Consideration of the local comprehensive planning for the area. Item number two is economic, demographic, social trends and projections pertinent to the proposal. Item number three is past and prospective physical development of land that would directly or indirectly be affected by the proposed boundary. And item number four, goals adopted under ORS 187.225, the comp plan, which it does. And there's an attachment from our community development director, Julie Smeltzer, to that effect. I don't know if that's necessary. So at this time, we are going to take this public hearing and open it up for public comment. People will be provided 3 minutes. Please state your name and general locale. And we'll begin. Not everybody at once. Mr. Seligman. Just raise your hand. I'll recognize you. Mr. Seligman's going to go, and then you can go next.
Pardon me?
Mr. Seligman's going to go first, and then you can go next.
Good morning, Commissioners. Mark Seligman, Selma, Oregon. This is a real tough one for me. Josephine County residents have been exposed in the last year, or even less than that, to or will be exposed to a law enforcement taxing district, an IV, Illinois Valley Fire District, and a library district. I'm really glad, it was an excellent presentation. I'm familiar with the grant monies that the library has gotten. I support the library. It's my experience, when you refer something to the voters, the chances are real good you're for it. Okay, I support libraries. I think libraries are an important necessity. I differed greatly with Simon Hare a number of years ago when he made the statement at a campaign forum, I will support law enforcement over libraries any day of the week. I did not agree with that statement. However, that was a couple of years ago. A taxing district never goes away. Only those communities that supported it are included. So they pay for everybody, even those that don't support. Now, we simply cannot keep going to the people with solutions that either people want but won't pay or don't want. Commissioners, by putting this on the ballot, in my mind, you will approve this. I think a far better solution is let these people who believe in this library gather signatures. That would be a true community support. Commissioners should reflect the community desires and not go against them. With great regret, and I mean great regret, given the financial situation of the county and this community, I cannot support this taxing district. Thank you very much.
Anyone else?
My name is Margaret Atwood, and I live in one of the 30 disenfranchised precincts.
What was your last
that
name?
Would be Atwood. Atwood. Margaret Atwood. The reader, not the writer. And I am, from my teenage years, I have supported myself partially and then totally by working in libraries, first as a shelver and then on up through my MLS as a professional librarian, program librarian, reference librarian, children's librarian. I always have access to at least two different library systems, sometimes three. I also have a lifetime membership in a private subscription library. Libraries are vitally important to me and have been since I was 6 years of age. I support JCLI. I think since the inception of JCLI, the library has been more of a community experience than ever before. I donated, and I still donate, to JCLI. I also was a volunteer working on the reference desk at JCLI. I know that Kate Lasky has done the job of a warrior fighting for a library in the community. I know that. However, the but is this. In order to accomplish a yes vote, she is willing to disenfranchise 30 out of the 47 precincts. We did not all vote no for the levy in those 30 precincts. And in some of those precincts, the vote was very close. with a little bit of outreach, with a little bit of wooing the voter, I feel, since 2014 levy loss, that something could have, some approaches could have been made to those precincts in which the vote was close. I think this is a punitive measure. I feel slapped in the face by it. I have invested 34 years of my tax dollars, whatever tax dollars ever got made their way to the library, I don't know. But still, I am a shareholder in this county library system. I do not want to see it taken from my hands and from the hands of a majority of the registered voters in Josephine County. It is over 50% of the registered voters in this county who are going to be disenfranchised from having a voting voice in the running of the library system. Yes, I know I can use the library and pay fees. I pay fees to use other libraries, and I'm willing to do that. But that's not the issue. The issue is, the real issue is protecting our rights to participate in a representative government, and that is being taken away. And I don't think, I really don't think a public library is worth that. I really don't think so. We have to think about what we're doing when we do this. It's a very dangerous precedent you're setting here, and I'm afraid. And also, you're going to alienate people who voted yes in those disenfranchised precincts, and you're going to alienate people who are making donations and forming their wills. If they've been kicked out in this manner from the voting public who supports the library, then they're going to react. So that's all.
Anyone
I have to
else
say.
For 3 minutes? Yes. Pardon me, just before you get started, I do want to clarify the fact that I think Ms. Lasky is presenting this on behalf of the board, so I would really appreciate if she were not necessarily named specifically in this element. It's really the board, the library board, as I understand it. She was just the spokesperson as the director. So go ahead.
My name is Dorothy Yetter. I live, I guess, using Margaret's terminology, in disenfranchised precinct. Over off of Riverbanks, and I really don't know what the vote totals were last time around, but I do know that I'm a donator to the library, I'm a user of the library, and do feel as if I am not going to be represented with the library board. I'm going to throw out a possibility of, I know there are times that there could be two districts or two propositions on the ballot. Has anyone taken a look at, instead of 39 cents times the number of people who are in the district, the proposed district, of taking that and, say, making it half for the entire county, putting both items on the ballot, and seeing that if it passes on the lower one, that way we have an entire inclusion of the entire county for the library. Just the thought of having two propositions on the ballot. Also, you know, there's no notice or idea about those of us who are not going to be in the district about what we're going to be paying. On the FAQs, it was said that it would be similar to what your assessed value would have been if you had been in the district. Well, that really doesn't tell you much, because I don't know if there's many homes out in the area that have only one person living in them, that there are multiple people per households, there are renters. How are you going to set this value? I think there really needs to be, at least for us non-voting people, some idea as to what we're going to need to pay to utilize the library. Another question I have is that the hours that the library is open, which is open to everyone in Josephine County, that for reading and browsing, are they going to be able to use the computers? Do they need a library card to use the computer? Because I can tell you, as local coordinator for tax aid right now in Josephine County, that we are suggesting that people go and utilize the library computers for doing certain items, such as contacting the IRS to get last year's tax returns, for making appointments to get their taxes done. Are people without library cards going to be able to use what I know of as the only free computers in the county? Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Ms. Ahrens.
Good morning. Judy Ahrens, resident of Josephine County. You know, I love libraries, too. I wish I had a schedule instead of trying out there always being a freedom fighter that I had the luxury to go to the libraries. And I'm so glad it's so used by our community. But with that being said, I kind of would like to go back to our founding fathers, and there's a book called The 5,000-Year Leap. And the whole mission and the drive of our founding fathers was they were against taxes. You tax the people, you eliminate your merchants and stores here. People don't have money to buy things. They go other places. Everybody's moving to Texas. Great place to go because you don't see every other week they're just driving for taxes. So, and I so believe that I so appreciate the last three speakers here because they really had some meat and a reasoning why this would not be a good idea. And I like when the one person said that, you know, donations, when you start saying, when you force everybody in a community to pay taxes for a library, library's important, you're eliminating people that maybe don't go to the library. And the ones that like to volunteer, you're saying, well, I won't volunteer that. I'll go to Medford and spend my money there for something. The whole concept, I think if you could just rationalize the concept, no new taxes. I don't know, on our banners downtown, no new taxes. You know, we come into the county and welcome veterans, no new taxes. We have to get to a point with our new elected officials, whatever, Trump's going the right direction. Freeze hiring of federal people, do this and that. Give people more money in their pockets. That's the one thing you're not considering, more money in their pockets. And, you know, I've asked this a number of times, numerous times, on filters. When I was in California, they had no filters on the, and pornography is running rapid. If you've got any kids and what they're watching, and I've asked the library, and they didn't seem to have any information. I don't know if the courier has asked to see if there's filters. Filters would block out all this. You're taking away their innocence. And yet when I've been to the library to ask them specifically, well, we're just too busy. Too busy to take away the innocence of children? Really? So, and I'm assuming that the budget's available there so we can see where all the money's going. I like what they did on the presentation. That was great. But I like to see where all the money is going. You know, it would be nice. And the volunteers are great. And if they want to volunteer their money, let them volunteer money. I think we need to go back, because our founding fathers would be turning over in their grave today, to see this is how we've evolved into our country. We've gone from this to now we tax people for everything. Thank you.
Yes, gentlemen in the back. Oh.
Good morning, commissioners.
Morning.
Malcolm Drake. I live out on Jump Off Chill Creek Road. I did a little calculation this morning. I went to realestate.com to find out what the average price is in Josephine County. I went to a couple other spots. There's a little variation, but this is pretty close. The average house apparently is worth about $227,000 in Josephine County. If you multiply that by 39 cents a thousand, that comes out to 24 cents a day. For 24 cents a day, we'll get access to a wonderful library, even better than it is now. What else can you get for 25 cents a day? Anything? Bubble gum? Not much. I'd like to add that I was hoping that Kate would have covered this, but excuse me. The proposed 39 cent tax rate, I believe, is the lowest rate of any library district in Oregon. I'm pretty sure. I won't swear.
Yeah, there you go.
I won't swear. Well, it's a little low.
You get that a lot. Every once in a while, you have something worth listening to, Mr. Drake. I'm just kidding. I want to hear it.
Okay.
As a former planning commissioner, one of my favorites.
Thank you, sir. I would add that the proposed 39 cents tax rate is the lowest in Oregon, I think. It's definitely one of the lowest. And it's generally about half of comparable districts' tax rates, according to a presentation that Kate and Dave gave us last Saturday. So it's a huge bargain. I think the reason it's only half is probably because we have 300 dedicated volunteers. 300. That's amazing. I'm one of them, by the way. There's a caveat. Margaret Atwood was concerned that this would be excluding people in different districts. It's my understanding that if they want to get into the library district in the future, they can petition and have a vote and get into it. I don't believe that Kate covered that, but she covered that last Saturday. I live in a district that's not included myself, Lucky Queen. I'm not near a library. I still support the libraries. I'll probably have to pay for a library card, but it's worth it. It's worth it to have a decent library in the county. Oh, and someone asked about would they have to pay for library computers? No. My understanding is the library computers will still be open to the public, whether you're a member or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Drake. I was going to go with Mr. Hunker first and then Mr. Fahey. You'll go next.
Bill Hunker, Merlin, Oregon. Hi. I'm coming in a little bit different here this morning regarding precedent for gerrymandering. Everybody who's looking for money is doing it every way they possibly can for stacking the deck. I don't find that wrong as far as trying to do everything you can. However, when you take all of the people who voted yes and you put them in a district and leave out the people who voted no, and then you take something like Wolf Creek, who voted no, but you put them in, and they're a very small district, and they will obviously be outvoted by the city of Grants Pass, and they will be dragged along. They did not vote for this last time, and yet, even if they totally don't vote for it this time, they will be included and be forced to pay the 39 cents. I'm worried about that because in the future, if these rates raise, which I'm certain that they will over time, that a very economically depressed area like Wolf Creek will take the hit much harder than some other areas will, and they'll have no say on it. In fact, their house is on in jeopardy at that point. If you did this with the animal shelter and picked all of the people who voted yes on the animal shelter and then said the rest of you, if you bring in dogs or cats, you have to pay a certain fee and we'll control it from now on, it seems wrong. And it seems wrong that you set a precedent to say, please set up all of your yes votes so that you get what you want and leave out the no votes. You're setting a really bad precedent for the county for anybody who's looking for money, and most are. The other thing that I want to mention is you guys are giving the library their lease at $1 a year. That's up in 3 years. And you two will be sitting on the board for realizing that fairly good money will be changing hands. Will you decide at that point, okay, since you're getting money, we're going to now charge you in our new lease for the building we're giving you? And at that point, you can charge what you feel like, and obviously it'll be negotiated, but I think that in fairness to the public, that you ought to be thinking about a 10 or 20 year lease now that you can give them so they can do financial planning for their future without going just 3 short years and then saying, oh, now we're at your mercy as a board of commissioners to decide what you're going to charge us in the future. Let them know now, so that they have financial planning if they're going to do that. And I also believe that as this may be precedent, that there'll be litigation if it continues in other areas.
Yes, Mr. Fahey.
Pat Fahey, 3640 Williams Highway. Just a couple of points, and I appreciate Ms. Atwood bringing up the points about the being left out, the abandoned districts.
Yes.
I'm one of those as well. I also serve on the library board.
Mr. Fahey,
board.
If you wouldn't mind directing your comments.
Pardon me. I also serve on the library board, and that was actually a very tough decision to figure out what we need to do to ensure the sustainability of the library. And what I'd like to offer to those of us who live in the outside areas is that this is a first step. the continuation as I would hope to have happen, and what I'm going to be working toward, is that those areas outside the district that are not included, they work to be annexed at a later point. And I've already started the process in my area. It just so happens my driveway's in the district, but my house is not. So I'm kind of left out. There's been several really good points brought up here today, and I think they should be addressed. It's been asked, why isn't there more details about the policies and practices after the district is informed? Well, because that's an elected board that hasn't got in place yet, so we don't know what their intentions are. The current board will probably give the incoming board some suggestions, but that's all they are, suggestions. So those people that are put their name in the ballot will be the ones that determine what happens in the district if successful. A non-contiguous district, while it probably sets precedent in Josephine County, it's pretty common throughout the state, and it's allowed in statute, so I don't think that's going to be a problem. There might be some litigation, but I sincerely doubt it. Getting back to the point about, there was another point that was brought up about a long-term lease. That would have to be done with a new board that's coming in. So the issues I'd like to address is that the library board would really like to have a county-wide district, but looking at the way people vote, let's let the people who wanted it before vote for it again, and I urge you to support the effort. Thank you.
Yes, in the back.
Hello, Caroline Griffith, Rural Cave Junction. I will also be one of those disenfranchised voters who will not have the pleasure of supporting her library with tax dollars, so I will do it with my donations, the way that I do it now. I am a former employee and a current volunteer of Josephine Community Libraries. I am in the Illinois Valley branch very consistently. I could go on for days about how important the library is to that community, how important an educated populace is to a democratic society, and how a free public library is foundational for that. But I wanted to talk about my experience during the 2014 library district effort, where I was the lead volunteer in the Cave Junction area. I went door to door gathering petition signatures. I stood in front of the grocery store. I stood in front of the post office. I went door to door again once we had it on the ballot to get out the vote. And the people of the Cave Junction area really support their library. And they were very happy to have the opportunity to vote for it, to have the opportunity to pay for it. And I would really encourage you to give them the opportunity again to put this on the ballot so that they can vote for and support their library. And as Pat said, this is a step forward for all of us who are outside of that district. If we can get a sustainable library, if we can up the hours and up the resources, who knows what we can do in the future to make this available to everybody in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Griffith. Anyone else wish to speak? Yes.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Roberts, and I live in Grants Pass. I was one of the founding members of Josephine Community Libraries 10 years ago. I've served on the board, and I've served as interim executive director of Josephine Community Libraries. I also intend to run for the library board for the new library district, and I just wanted to respond a little bit to some of the things I've heard today. One was sort of a real pain about not being included in the district, a real, you know, deep felt pain, and I hear that, and I totally understand that. I feel where that's coming from. And also an uncertainty about what's going to happen. So I just want to address those two things. First, I want to point out that this is not intended to be a punitive measure, but practical. The library cannot operate the way it is sustainably. And so the board has looked for ways to provide that foundational funding so that it can continue in perpetuity. About the uncertainty about what's going to happen, I know that, you know, that decision is going to be left up to the board that gets elected, but I would point out that what is on the FAQs is that the library card will cost about what it would cost for the median cost of a house, which is about $150,000 in Josephine County, and that works out to about $78 a year. And I would also point out that this idea of a non-contiguous district is not something totally new and novel, but has actually happened in Oregon before in Lane County. Eugene has its own city library, and people who live outside the city boundaries pay to have a library district. But I also want to just sort of emphasize that the library has always been a responsive and inclusive group, and indeed, you can petition to become a part of those, a part of that library district, and the library listens. That's what I want to emphasize. Thank you.
Anyone else for public comment? Yes.
Steve Croninger, Grants Pass. It's been a while since I've been up here, and I did not grow this beard in order to curry favor with two of the commissioners here.
It's for likewise.
A role. I see how you are.
It's for a role I'm doing at Barnstormers. But anyway, I just want to point out a couple of things. Obviously, I'm a library supporter, so I'm wearing their shirt, and I'm a donor. I was a former employee for them at Wolf Creek for 5 years as a branch manager there. And I'm just going to tell a couple of things. One, my wife puts up with me. When we drive around the country and we stop at libraries all over the country, and there are so many libraries all over the country, it's amazing. And I take a picture of the little sign that shows the hours. So you're looking at small little towns that are, you know, maybe 3,000, 4,000 people, and their library hours are 50, 60 hours a week. And she puts up with me. But anyway, so we were on a trip this summer. We visited, we drove out to see my dad turn 90 years old. That was a wonderful experience. But on the way, I wanted to visit the town that my sister, she's a pastor in the Methodist Church, and a small town in Nebraska. And so I took one of my pictures, and they were open 24 hours, same amount of hours as Grants Pass, 24 hours a week, population 900 people, and they have a library that's open 24 hours a week. So my point is, our library is not open enough. It needs to be open enough, and I'm sorry that some people are going to be left out, and hopefully they can add their precinct by getting their neighbors to be a part of the library district after this one passes. But we need the library to be funded, and it would need to be sustainable. This is the method, I think, that the library has to go, so that we have a library. This library, Grants Pass, population of over 30,000 people, was closed for a year and a half, and that is embarrassing. When it was closed, I was not a citizen of this lovely town, but I am now, and I'm going to do everything I can to get this library district passed, because it's necessary for all of our children, those children to not have access to a library for a year and a half. And that is just outrageous. So I hope that you vote to have this go to the ballot.
Thank you, Mr. Conniter. Anyone else for 3 minutes? So I'm going to bring it back to the board for deliberation on this, and then we're going to close the public hearing and go into our administrative calendar. But I just want to make this point, and I'll do it again. The board will continue, if they choose to today, to move it forward. To receive written comment to the board's office in the courthouse, room 154, on this issue. You can also send your email correspondence to bcc@co.josephine.or.us or by fax at 541-474-5105. Ideally, phone calls are not recommended, as there's only a correspondence with one board member at a time, and we'd like to capture all comments holistically so they're part of the record and can be reviewed by all board members in making this decision. So not that you can't, but encourage you to seek those other means of correspondence. So at this time, with no other further questions, I'll close the public hearing at 10:04. We really want to thank everyone for participating here today. There were a couple of, I'm not going to close the hearing just yet because I got a couple of things I need to say first. I think the gathering of the signatures, I don't want to talk about the merits of it. Those are really not up to the board for discussion, but facilitating the process definitely is in our purview. And the gathering of the signatures, as was suggested, I believe that's a timing element. It was also suggested that there will be a number of other districts on the May ballot. This is the only district that I'm aware of. In fact, it would have been required by Mr. Seligman. You had your opportunity, and you're going to get another one. But right now, it's mine, so thank you very much. You can propose levies, but a district had to be approved by this board and endorsed by the two respective incorporated cities by December 21st. This is the only one that I'm aware of that's moving forward, and I've been here the whole time. So this is it as far as districts are concerned. What the Ivy Fire was referenced is that's a levy, and if there is some sort of law enforcement funding, that will have to be a levy. It cannot be a district. And so just for clarification on those competing, possibly competing elements, This opportunity for a non-contiguous district, as I understand, is not necessarily an option for all funding operations for districts. So this opportunity doesn't apply to everybody. I also wanted to clarify that it's my understanding that Curry County has three separate library districts. I don't know what their rates are. I just know from talking to former Commissioner David Brock Smith, I said, how many districts do you have in your county? Because we have 13, 14. They have 47. It's a lot. So how counties, if you've seen one county in Oregon, you've seen one county in Oregon. We structure stuff crazy different all over the place. And I do understand that Jackson County formed their library district a number of years ago, maybe two, and that's 60 cents a thousand, if I'm correct. So we're not all the same, and I'm not necessarily endorsing the proposal or not, but at this point, it's just for the board to move it forward to give the voters an opportunity May 16th to weigh in. Any other comments before I? Yes, Commissioner Morgan.
This is not an easy situation for me. Obviously, if I had a thing that I would be pursuing beyond anything, it would be public safety. I also know that the libraries have been an integral part of my life, and I wouldn't be where I am without them. But whether I support the libraries or not has no bearing on today. What really my decision will come down to is procedure. And I had to think about this. There's a lot of things going on at the state level that I'm not necessarily supportive or against, just wanted to have a voice. And my opportunity for that was to contact my state representative and say, can you put a measure out? And they're doing that. And in this circumstance, people from the community came to us and said, will you put a measure out? It's not whether or not we approve it or agree with it or disagree with it. It's a matter of the people that we represent asked us to make something available to be voted on. If it's voted down, that's the people's say. If it's voted in favor, that's the people's say. But the process to get it out there is to contact your representative and say, put it out there for me. And I still have a lot of questions. The annexation process is one of them that I know that was a touchy one with city expanding, and I'd like to learn more about this situation with annexation extensions. Certainly, gerrymandering is a concern. I know there are districts that are included that were not yes votes, precincts. From what I can see in the map is if there's a library, it's this town around the library. And whether it's a yes or no, it's if you have a library, you're there. So it's a very specific inclusion versus this precinct and not all these ones around it and this precinct and not all the ways. That, to me, would be a more defining thing of gerrymandering to go after a certain class or race or just one precinct in the middle. But if you're including the whole area of the township around the thing, I think is how this is excluded from that. Either way, I don't know. That's all I have to say about that.
I think just to follow up on that point, I wrote that down as a pretty important element as far as precincts that may or may not have endorsed previous actions. There, in my recollection, and I've followed with Councillor Hicks every election by every precinct since I've been in office, and there's not a single election that everybody voted, all precincts voted exactly the same way. So there will always be precincts that will be not endorsing or endorsing a proposal that isn't the majority's will. So that's just kind of the way our system is set up. So I think that's pretty much all we need to say today. It's 10:10, and so this public hearing is closed. We're going to go into the other part of our agenda, which is item number 3. It's consideration of order number 2017-005 in the matter of the formation of a library district pursuant to ORS 357.216 to 357.286, Josephine Community Library District, findings of facts, approval of formation of proposed district, setting final public hearing, which will be on February 15th, 2017 at 9 a.m. here in the Ann Basker. Item number B is 2017 approval of 2017-2019 Special Transportation Formula STP Discretionary Funds. We have Mr. Chansey, who's our programs director for our transportation transit system, and he's going to explain everything we need to know about this fun talk.
And some. I'm Scott Chansey. I'm the transit program supervisor for Josephine County. Good morning.
Morning.
What I'm asking for is the approval of the Special Transportation Advisory Committee's recommendation of what discretionary fund applications are forwarded to ODOT. So these aren't at, this isn't an agreement. All we're doing is forwarding the recommendation of the STAC committee. But before I get to that point, since there's some new commissioners, I'll give you some background information. ODOT supplies Josephine County, since they're the governing body, with discretionary funds every 2 years. These funds are specifically for public transportation or transportation projects for elderly and disabled. So the way that this works through state law and federal requirements is there's an advisory committee for Josephine County for the county commissioners. It's the Special Transportation Advisory Committee. It's actually an open seat for a commissioner. I actually think it's Commissioner DeYoung. Okay, you'll see the agendas coming through. So anyway, so that committee meets, and they take in the applications, and then they make recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners, and then the Board of County Commissioners forwards those recommendations to ODOT Public Transit Division for possible consideration of funding. So the way that that process works, as soon as the funding becomes available or it's open from the state where they allow us or they tell us how much funds we're going to get, I put a public notice in the paper and start soliciting applications. Those applications come in, and then we bring them to the Special Transportation Advisory Committee for decision-making. So with that said, there's three separate funding formulas that come through. Now, these are based on a formula on population percentage that's elderly, disabled, and so forth. The first two come directly from the Federal Transit Administration. So that's allocated to the state, and then the state breaks it up. So the first one is, it's called 5311, so it's the 5311 program. And those are rural transportation funds for general public transit services only. So in order to be eligible for those funds, you have to provide general public transit service. So Josephine County is the only one that provides that service, so we're technically the only one that's available or eligible. The other funding source is 5310. That's another federal program that comes from the Federal Transit Administration to Josephine County, and those are funds for elderly and disabled transportation. There's no specific caveat that it needs to be general public, but there are some other regulations that are involved. The last funding source is called STF, and that's Special Transportation Funds. Those come specifically from the state of Oregon, and they're collected through a cigarette tobacco tax specifically allocated to this source. Those funds are allocated for generally what agencies use those funds is for local match because they're non-federal funds. So the recommendations being made by the STAC committee are that the 5311 funds and the STF funds all go to Josephine County. The STF funds will be used for our local match requirement for some other federal funds. So they get leveraged quite heavily. The other applications that came in, as you'll see them listed, every application that came in was funded or recommended for funding at the full amount. The first one was for Southern Oregon Aspire. They were looking for a vehicle replacement. So they're taking a vehicle that's beyond its useful life out of service, and we'll be replacing it with a new one. The other two projects are options of Southern Oregon. They have a preventive maintenance application, and that's to pay for preventive maintenance for their fleet that's purchased through these funds as well. And preventive maintenance is things like oil changes, brake jobs, all kinds of stuff. Typically, it's not major component replacement, but it could be. And then they are also asking for a vehicle replacement. Both of these agencies provide client-only transportation. There is some discussion at the state level whether these funds should go for non-client only, so meaning that you, if you are providing transportation to a client base, that you wouldn't be eligible for those funds. That's currently not in place, although it's been talked about, so they're currently still eligible. The other one is preventive maintenance for Josephine County. So that's Josephine County's transit fleet. That's we use these funds for maintaining of all of our vehicles. It's a portion, or obviously our budget's more than this. And then the last one is the City of Grants Pass. The City of Grants Pass purchased services from Josephine County to provide public transit within the City of Grants Pass. We go through this arrangement because if we took the funds directly, and by we, I mean Josephine County, we would, and used them directly for operations, we would have to pay a 50% match rate. By going through this arrangement with the City of Grants Pass, the City of Grants Pass pays the match requirement. It's only 10.27%. So in an agency that has very limited match dollars, this is a very good way to extend it as far as we possibly can. Those are all the applications that were submitted. This is a two-year program, and as you can see from what I distributed, there's a reduction this year from what we had seen in the prior 2 years. With that said, everybody's projects did get funded at the full amount. So that's what I would be looking for. It's basically a recommendation to forward these applications to the state for consideration of funding.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chancy. Mm-hmm. I wanted to explain how his explanation was probably a little bit longer, which is a benefit to this board, two of which are new. But I know that Commissioner DeYoung has followed transportation issues as his time in the city. But we didn't have a Thursday meeting last week due to lack of a quorum. Two of the members of the board are new, and they were at County College. Which was a good thing, I think. And so that typically our explanations are not this in-depth, but I do appreciate Mr. Chancy being here today and kind of explaining this as kind of step two. Step one was the vetting of the applications through the committee, recommendation to us. We'll forward that on to ODOT, as I understand. It'll probably come back for either changes or approval to the board. And so this we're not done yet, but this is just one step forward. So
that's correct. It's step two. Step three is then we would hear from ODOT as to what applications they would actually fund, and then we would have a grant agreement that I would bring back to the commissioners for signature.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Nope. Great. So that concludes for our administrative actions on the calendar. Item number four is requests and comments from citizens. So you can speak on any subject you like. 3 minutes applies the same, and just state your name and general locale. Not your specific address is required. Mr. Seligman, I think that you're interested in coming forward, so.
Hi again, Mark Seligman, Selma, Oregon. I'll say this real briefly. Simon, I did not say, what I did say was over the past year, there have been levies discussed. You wanted a law enforcement taxing district. The IV, you are correct, will have a levy possibly, and this is another taxing district. So just to correct the record. Okay, now on to what I really wanted to talk about. The other night in Cave Junction, citizens who are opposed to the text amendment, the marijuana text amendment, and private property rights spoke for 2 hours. The commissioners had a town hall meeting after that. We were informed by Commissioner Morgan that we could not discuss this because it'd be ex parte communications. It's very comforting to know that we have a commissioner who will go out of her way to make sure we adhere to the law. However, the advice that Commissioner Morgan got, unfortunately, was incorrect. In ORS 25.6.5, it says local government procedures and hearings, impartial tribunal, where a challenge decision, which this would be, is a legislative decision, the statutory provisions requiring disclosure of ex parte contacts does not apply, and it cites the case. Unfortunately, the county legal counsel was not consulted on this. I don't know where you got your consultation, but the purpose of county legal counsel is to discuss this with him so citizens have the right to talk to their elected officials. It's admirable that we wish to be safe, but we have a county council who protects everybody. Unfortunately, we were not able. Now, I'm going to proceed, and under this assumption that this is the law, and I hope I'm not in violation of any ex parte, because according to this, I'm not.
He hasn't started yet, but I would recommend that you not. And because all of the board members are here, we're using your time, Mr. Seligman, so
okay,
use it wisely.
All right, I'm using it. This text amendment I'm referring to has not even been drafted by legal counsel. It's drafted by the planning director. You were sent a notice alerting you that he did not even draft this proposal and he did not approve this proposal, and he's telling you that a text amendment must be made into law before it can be voted on as an ordinance. We are currently gathering signatures. We have close to 100 signatures that opposes this text proposal by the planning director. The public would like a cooperative environment with the present council. There's private property rights violations in this proposal. It involves a code enforcement official that 80% of the people voted down several years ago. I've only been here for not even a minute. These are overly restricted.
Your time is up.
That was in 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's by all other indications it was.
Well, you talked for 30 seconds.
Really appreciate
your time. Could you give me that 30 seconds
that
you spoke?
Mr. Seligman, we're using it up right now, so I appreciate it if you'd sit down. We'll go to the next
person. What I'm trying to...
You'll have an opportunity on Monday to discuss this issue when it's part of the record.
You're shutting... I didn't get 3 minutes. I got about a minute.
Mr. Seligman?
That's all I got. I know what I have here. I was not 3 minutes.
I really appreciate you coming before the board today, but you've had almost 6 minutes because you've testified twice, so I really appreciate it, but you're going to have an opportunity on Monday. Thank you so much. Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. Couple of things. I talked to Representative Wilson the other day. He's going to be back, and I apologize. I don't know the number, but as you get older, there's things you forget, and numbers happen to be one of them, it seems like. To put back on the state the idea that taxing districts would pay a percentage of what they earn back to the counties because they collect it with no money coming back to the county. So this will be back on the state legislature, hopefully get out of committee this time and be voted on. I'm sure the teachers union will be against it because they see it as money out of their pocket. But the counties collect the money. We spend money for our employees to do this with no sort of remuneration for funds spent by the county. So I think it's important that as a BCC that you would support this. The second thing is the cannabis regulations. At first, it seemed like a really good thing, I think. But looking into it, the slippery slope becomes what's next. People out in around the farm doesn't like the smell of cattle, so we're going to, once you open this door, it becomes an open book, and it could be, maybe you have a farm that's producing, a product that has an odor or a smell, and, is that the next thing we're going to look at? Cannabis is now considered a crop. I think it becomes more important for us, a county, there's two things. One, if they're violating laws that are already in, and I can guarantee you they are. They're using water out of domestic wells for commercial operations. That's illegal. They're erecting buildings without permits. That's illegal. I think it becomes more important as a county that we go after the people that we know that are violating the laws. I think the other thing would be to go to our state representatives and get money back from, and it's an uphill battle, I realize, to enforce these laws that are already on the books. And I know that in one of my other organizations I sit on, that we're already getting complaints about water quality issues. And I think it's going to be up to the county to enforce this regulation. So I think that we should maybe not support the cannabis rules that are being, out there, and go for the ones that we know that are violating the code and the laws. Thank you.
So just to provide some clarification on, we have a pending text amendment hearing on Monday. And so I don't mind if people talk in generalities of the cannabis issue and its challenges or its virtues. What I really don't want to get into, so that it's a comprehensive collection of the testimony provided on this element, is the specifics of the text amendment proposed by the planning director are really need to be done at that hearing. So if you have generalities of marijuana, the industry, the shortcomings and positives, that's fine. That issue will always be discussed, and there may be always pending elements of refining our code relative to that issue. And so you've really got to relegate those two to their respective proposed hearings, especially if we have one on the schedule, on the books. So I hope that's clear, and I'll try to steer you in that direction as you testify, and you'll just have to pardon the interruption, Mr. Hunker.
Bill Hunker, Merlin, Oregon. It just came to my mind the other night when you guys were out at Cave Junction. You were talking about liaisons and who was assigned to each department. Is there a list that the public can get a hold of? Is there a place that is on the website where we can say, okay, Public Works is Dan DeYoung, for all the departments and exactly what your assignments are to the various departments? Is that something could be available or is available?
It is. It is available. Perfect. Anyone else?
Could change.
That's the point I would make, that it's a fluid document. Anyone else for Ms. Ahrens?
Judy Ahrens, resident of Grants Pass. Of Josephine County, excuse me, Grants Pass too. That is a great, great, great request or question from Bill Hunker. I just want to give it three dittos. To people are always wondering out there, where are you guys? When did you go here? Where'd your walker go? What's that trip all about? And you say that's available, and since you are public employees and you work for the public, that would be fantastic. Even if it was tentative, and Commissioner Hare, even if it changed because it could be lucrative, I understand, but a fantastic request or suggestion from Bill Hunker. Boy, I need to make him a cake. That's great. Now, some other things I was just going to mention is that, back to our schedule when it says requests and comments from the citizens. Commissioner Hare, I have a little concern when, even though we can bring up anything, it seems like once in a while I see you kind of limit to that. And I'm concerned about that. I'm very concerned. That might be your own opinion. But as citizens here who you represent, I think you do us an injustice or do certain citizens injustice when they want to get up here and they want to speak on certain items. That, yes, that could be taken up a meeting. They might be going through an operation. They might have been having a pedicure that day. Who knows? Who knows? But here's their opportunity when they drive a long distance to come up here and share information. And for us to say, well, you can speak on any subject, but it has to be limited, I don't think President Trump would think so. He would have a real problem with that, a real problem with that. So I would just suggest, if you are representing us and we have an opportunity and people drive from distances, I don't that far, that you really give them an opportunity to speak on what's on their mind. And that means you have a big heart, and your heart is normally telling us where your treasures are and where your concerns are in representing us. some of the things I just want to share with what limited time I have left is that I hope this year that we can kind of really celebrate things in big way here, and we have done it to a degree before, like Independence Day, make a big deal. I know on Domestic Violence Day we have a lot of purple flags out there. Wouldn't it be neat if we had a lot of American flags, like from the Liberty Watch Group, and had them all over the line, and had speeches that day and the Declaration of Independence? And this is just one example. Our kids are so uneducated, they don't even know who our vice president was, the last one. I mean, they don't know who Mike Spence is. They'd be clueless, all the ones that are creating all this havoc around our nation right now. They don't even vote. In our public schools, as much as we pay over 60% of our money, hard-earned money, goes to property taxes, and the 60% that goes to our public education, go check, give them 10 questions, basic civic questions. They can't answer them. It's really sad. Thank you.
Anyone else for 3 minutes? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any comments before
we move on? I will. So we had a town hall meeting at Cave Junction on Monday night, and I was made aware that there would be comments received in relation to our public hearing that's coming up on this upcoming Monday. So I read the notification of what that meeting was, and I said, if you are intending on talking of any of the items on this, we can't accept that, because with both of us there, it would be holding a pre-hearing before the actual hearing, which would be unfair for the hearing process. And so contrary to what is suggested, I did actually contact our legal department and made sure that that was the proper step, to refrain from holding a pre-hearing before the hearing. So that's why those limitations were put on that town hall meeting. I really also understand Ms. Ahrens as far as education here and there and that, but we don't have any authority over what the schools do. That's why they have their own separate elected school boards. I do hope to cooperate with them in a way of working towards, I think we have to work on our workforce issues and getting our kids to a point that they're engaged, so they're getting through school, so they want to stay in this community and work. But that'll be a cooperation with their elected officials, as they also have that right to go that route. But as far as the liaison list, it doesn't go through all the schedules of all the meetings. It just says which department and committees we're liaison to. You still have to, I'm still working on our calendar options, as far as I know our website is not as easy to navigate as, well, it's sometimes challenging. So trying to find the right thing, you kind of have to know where to look before you try to look. So if you don't know where to look, you can't find. So we're trying to talk about those options, but the scheduling is one of them, when the meetings are here and different committee meetings. That's a separate issue. So I wanted to make sure that there wasn't an expectation on the liaison list of the individual schedules. It's just the liaison list and who we're connected with.
Yeah, I want to just comment on Monday's meeting out in the Illinois Valley. I thought it went remarkably well. I got 4 calls yesterday just from people thanking us for being out there and having an ear. Commissioner Morgan did set the ground rules, and this commissioner started down the wrong trail, and I apologize for that and withdrew everything. I didn't follow her direction, so I stopped it immediately and apologized, because I was wrong and I violated my own ground rules. But we're working towards a lot of things. For instance, Commissioner Morgan said we're on our liaison list. We're going to have a liaison to local political boards and districts and so on and so forth. That'll be me on the local level. Commissioner Morgan is going to handle things on the state level, and Commissioner Hare is going to do things on the national level. And then we can compare notes. But things like school board, irrigation district board, you name it, those are on our radar. And Grants Pass City Council, Cave Junction City Council, I don't think those are groups that have been included in a long time, in the radar of the board. So we're going to try to reach out to the various things. So, and a good thing that we're not overlapping on services. So maybe there's an opportunity here to save some revenue dollars, some real serious money. But I thought Monday's meeting went well out in Cave Junction. I came back with a pretty good taste in my mouth, and I'd surely go do it again. Mr. Seligman was out there in force, and we appreciate he had a huge turnout, which is good because that means that the people of Illinois Valley are engaged. So I was excited by it. Training-wise, Commissioner Morgan and I are going to be and have been attending County College, and it's a 10-segment deal for the next year. We participated in the first three-day event last week, and it was exciting. We're learning an awful lot about where the county government fits in with the overall picture. And there's some things on the county level that probably are unique to government, because on the county level, you're just about having an even playing field throughout the state with your representation of three commissioners per county. Some of them have five, but most of them have three. So even though Multnomah County has a huge population and Harney County has a huge geographical area, still have the same amount of representation at the county level in the AOC. So I went up there as a test balloon, and I came back very satisfied, so I will be attending the rest of the classes up there. So those are just things that are coming up in the valley.
Commissioner Morgan?
Mr. Ford, I wanted to comment on the cannabis money from the state. I know that one of our local public safety coordinating council is drafting a letter requesting that as well, that we take into consideration that Josephina Jackson counties represent one-third of the licensed growers for recreational cannabis in the state, and yet we receive no compensation for having that large of an impact on our community. And they're drafting a letter requesting that be considered. But I contacted Representative Wilson's office to give them a heads up that letter would be coming, and he's already drafted legislature or a measure to ask that same thing as well. So it is being requested at the state level. Locally, we are supporting that as well. And thought I'd let you know that you had a great idea.
So I'm going to make a couple comments on what I heard here today, just a few. So I think Mr. Ford talked about the proposed tax. It would be, I think, clarification, just a fee on the taxing districts that are in Josephine County that pay nothing for the services that the county renders for free. That costs the taxpayers roughly $600,000. We get one of those pink notes from the Department of Revenue every year saying our staffing levels are below adequate standards. Where our goal is to do an assessment and reevaluation every 6 years on properties, and there are some properties that haven't been visited in a number, maybe my entire lifetime. We've got limited staff to accomplish that. So it would be, as I've read previous, there's been three iterations. It would be a not to exceed 2% of the total revenues collected by the county for that district. And we would, it's for me, it's a fairness element. You've got a really complicated taxing system. I just went through a day-long training on the Board of Property Tax Appeals that I had not done yet since I've been in office. And it's pretty complicated with the different measures that have passed. And so trying to get things fair and get the assessments done accurately would actually bring up the total taxable value in the county. Right now we've got something around $7 billion of taxable assets, and there's probably anywhere between a half and a whole $1 billion that is not accurately reflected on the rolls when we assess our taxes. A 2% or not to exceed, as I understand from Connie Roach in our assessor's office, she's looking at something closer to a 1%, 1.25 I think is the number she's proposed. That would be more than accomplished by improving the assessed value accuracy if we had additional revenues and resources to capture those values. So those are $600,000 of general fund. It's the largest appropriation that this board has historically made outside the criminal justice system of general fund tax dollars. So that's a real important piece of legislation that I appreciate Mr. Wilson bringing forward to the legislature again. He's doing a number of those. I won't go into detail today, but I think he's really at the forefront of trying to listen to the needs of the county and reflect those in the legislature. Absolutely, Mr. Hunker, the liaison list has been made public in the past. This board has refined it, and I think it's a final element that we would be happy to share with anybody who requests that, and we'll find a spot that's appropriate on the website to probably provide that. I want to talk about Ms. Aaron's referencing the 3 minutes that's provided, and sometimes the not real clear distinction about when people can speak on an issue and when they can't. Land use is really specifically regulated by the state. There's an appeals process, Land Use Board of Appeals. I think it's just a policy that this board has adopted, and I think that we've been served well by doing it. When we have a specific issue, that we not discuss that element outside the specific hearing to address it. And there's a couple of different reasons for that. First off, if it's discussed and testimonies heard by the board, and the applicant, if there is an applicant in a situation, is not there to defend or provide counter opportunities, that's not fair to them. In the alternative, if the applicant's there and the opponents were not presented with an opportunity at that hearing to present, the board could find itself making a determination before the public hearing has actually been set and established. And that doesn't serve anybody well. In this specific situation, there was a board member myself who was not in attendance. So you could see a majority of the board hearing one side of the testimony, making a determination, a predetermination possibly, on a subject without me, that other board member, having the opportunity for the same kind of information. We're really frugal here at Josephine County. We don't send a staff person to that quarterly meeting with the Cave Junction City Council and Mayor to record all of that. I think there is a digital recording. There should be a digital recording, but that's not exactly the same thing as being in the room. So, yeah, it may not be 100% reflective of state statute or what have you. That's a board operating policy that we're more than likely going to stick to, and I think we've been served very well by keeping that that policy. There are also other counties that restrict public comment on the you cannot speak on an agenda item before the board. I think that's the way Jackson County does it. I don't understand that. That seems disingenuous to having a meeting with action items and then you don't get an opportunity to speak on those action items that are before the board. I've never understood that. There's a number of counties around the state that actually operate that way. We are probably the most inclusive of the opportunity. You can speak on any subject you like, save land use hearings when we have those pending before the board. That's pretty much the time that those are not appropriate. So you can find fault with the way we've done this. We've reorganized it 100 different ways in the 6 years that I've been here. So far, I think it's not perfect, but it works. Those are the comments that I have. We'd move forward, if there are no others, to the administrative calendar and taking action on item 3A, which is consideration of order number 2017-005 in the matter of the formation of a library district pursuant to ORS 357.216 to 357.286, Josephine Community Library District, findings of fact, approval of formation of the proposed district, setting final public hearing, which will be February 15th, 2017 at 9 a.m. in the Anbasker Auditorium, if this motion is made, seconded, and approved. And there's a motion formally on tab 2, page 2.
I'm going to make a motion.
So
I move that the board make the following findings. One, that the area can be benefited by the formation of the proposed special library district in accordance with the criteria prescribed by ORS 199-462. And two, that the board move forward with formation of the district by approving order number 2017-005. In the matter of the formation of a library district pursuant to ORS 357.216 to 357.286, Josephine Community Library District, finding of fact, approval of formation proposed district, setting final public hearing.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. The next hearing on this subject will be, like I said, February 15th, 2017, 9 a.m. in the Anbasker. This will be the second and final public hearing that will be held on this issue. Correspondence can be received at the board's office, like previously talked about, at the courthouse, room 154, by email at bcc@co.josephine.or.us, or by fax at 541-474-5105. Recommending that people not correspond via the phone so that we have a comprehensive record of the deliberation or comments received on this issue. Item number 3B is approval of 2017-2019 Special Transportation Formula Discretionary Funds as presented by Mr. Chansey.
Go ahead. Do you want
to? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I make a motion that we approve the 2017-2019 Special Transportation Formula Discretionary Funds.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? No. Please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hill?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Item number 5 is approval of the consent calendar made up of various minutes of the Board of Commissioners. Item number 5B is resolution 2017-003 in the matter of appointments to the Josephine County Mining Advisory Board. I'm the liaison, as long as we're talking about liaison responsibilities to that. We've got three openings and three applicants that are going to be filling those. Michael Bird, Roger Wagler, Wagler Lee, and Thomas Wiley, former Dogami staffer. Those are going to be serving four-year terms to expire in 2021. Item number 5C is resolution 2017-004 in the matter of appointments to the Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. There is one opening and one alternative opportunity. Applicants were received and evaluated, and Mr. Andreas Bleck will be appointed to that board, and Nathaniel Duarte is the alternative in that position. Those are four-year terms, not to exceed, possibly, and they're up in 2021 as well. So looking for a motion to approve the consent calendars, item 5A, B, and C.
So moved.
Seconded.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
Commissioner Morgan?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Any other business that should properly come before the board at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to matters from commissioners. Item number 7, Commissioner DeYoung.
I've been approached on a couple of public works things. I think after this last storm event, we need to sit down, and as a liaison to public works, I'm going to set up an appointment with Rob Brandison. We're going to list all of our hot spots and the way we responded to them. So we're looking forward to that because I think we've had quite a few issues. In my correspondence with the public, you know, I had to remind them that this isn't something we've done over the last probably 25 years. That set of circumstances hit overnight, and of course we've got the big blowout out there on Sand Creek, and there's an awful lot on our plate. But there are just some logistics things that I think we can sharpen our pencil on, and we'll be looking into that.
Great. Anything else?
I was asked to speak on a public safety panel in the Illinois Valley, hosted by Healthy U this Saturday from 12:30 to 2. Due to the stuff going on with my family with the accident last week, I have a conflict this Saturday, and I don't know if somebody else, they're asking that somebody that would maybe represent county government that would be informed on that could still attend. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure who the appropriate person would be for that, if there's any suggestions.
Okay.
As such, I also would not be able to make the Illinois Valley banquet that night now.
Okay.
Which was the plan. But I spoke with Chief Hope last night and let him know.
Great. We don't have to decide that today. If we have an admin meeting tomorrow and then a general discussion Thursday evening, we could probably work out our schedules.
Just wanted to give you guys a heads up.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the notice to figure something out. I don't want to make Dan the sacrificial lamb, Commissioner DeYoung, but as a liaison to the sheriff, that might be...
Well, I have
there's a nexus there.
In the evening, I have a conflict.
You do. That's
yes.
True.
This one's 12:30 to 2 for that conference. Okay. My plan had been to just stay out there for the day.
Yeah.
But sense. Now that I have to be in Eugene, I can't do either. So.
Okay.
We'll work that out.
So Monday and Tuesday, I had the privileged, distinct honor. I was invited by Governor Brown to attend a two-day workshop on collaboratives in the state of Oregon, highlighting some of the successes that have taken place in eastern Oregon and ways that collaboratives can be better utilized throughout the state to improve forest management practices. I've served on a number of boards. I'm the co-chair of Public Lands for Association of Oregon Counties, vice president for ONC, and I was on the governor's task force for ONC, a number of other different things. My general takeaway from that, and I have some notes that I'll share with the board probably at the general discussion tomorrow in greater detail. There's a place for collaboratives. I won't disagree. But the problem for me, and I think the problem that all collaboratives have, is that there's no teeth in the decision that good people make over time based on sound science, and that that's going to be carried out by the agencies without someone imposing from the outside their own opinion through litigation at the 11th hour. And as long as that exists in our system, the time and energy I have to put into the collaborative effort is going to be really limited, has been really limited. And I think that's a negative. I think that's a detriment to the outcomes that we all seek of clean air, clean water, a robust economy, and good general utilization of our public natural resources. And so that was my takeaway, and my encouragement to the governor is to seek either a state or federal, it's going to need a federal remedy, that the players at the table, everybody needs to be at the table. That's great. But that there's some certainty with the outcome that is agreed upon by that collaborative, that it's going to move forward is an absolute. And so it was a good discussion. I really appreciate the invitation. I was the only Western commissioner to attend that two-day workshop. I think it was valuable, but there's a lot of work left to do. And so I'm not going to stop. We just got a $2.1 million payment. Total county payment was $19 million off of shared receipts this last year. It pales in comparison to what we've historically achieved through that formula, 50-50 split with the feds on BLM-managed ONC lands. Historically, some of the averages have totaled over $110 to $134 million. And people talk about sustained yield management. Sustained yield management means that you're not harvesting more than your timber, your forest lands are producing in any given year. The sustained yield management after the last review that I've seen was 1.57 billion board feet. Last year's managed lands totaled just under 200 million, right around 160 million board feet. Peter DeFazio, congressman from the 4th District of Oregon, referenced in a town hall 2 years ago in Cave Junction, in a very sensitive area to forest management, the fact that he never expected the forest management to go to that level, that low. And he put it as totally unacceptable. It's not healthy for our forests. It's not healthy for our economies. And we have got to do something, and we've got to do something fast to improve that. Our communities are dying all across the West because there isn't that foundational component of the economy to keep people employed. There was a comment on Facebook this morning that I thought was right on the fact that if you look at the police blotter, how many of those young men and women would have found themselves in some sort of ancillary or direct employment opportunity due to managing natural resources? And I can't help but think when I graduated from high school in 97 that there were a ton of people employed either directly or indirectly in the natural resource industry, timber or others, and that isn't there anymore. And there is nothing that has taken its place or could ever take that place. We are not going to be that economy of Bend. There is only certain number of places that people are going to want to go and have Bend. And I'm not so sure I want Bend for Josephine and Grants Pass. That there's a lot of challenges over there with their economy tied to tourism. Is it a component of our economy? Absolutely should be and explored, made a robust portion. But economies that are made up of just one thing or don't have a foundation are always going to struggle. And I think the community needs to come together in some sort of an effort, collaborative or otherwise, and really address this issue. And so I just encourage people to have some optimism, some hope. I certainly do. That's why I'm still here working on these issues. I want to applaud the other two people who have signed up for their four-year term to tackle these issues. And we're going to be doing it in an aggressive way moving forward in this first year. So it's been a long meeting, and I appreciate everybody's patience and diligence for tuning in or attending. At 10:53, with nothing further, the board is adjourned.
Adjourned.